meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. This is the Implementation Oversight Task Force call number 7 on, April 27th. And welcome everyone to the call. We have an agenda for you today consisting of a few items. The first item is around the RZERC charter. The second item is around the IANA escalation mechanisms. And then the third topic that we'd like to discuss with you is around the document review process and timeline. And then we'll have, you know, we'll leave a few minutes at the end for any other business. So if there are no objections to this agenda nothing else that anyone want to add, then we can go ahead and get started. Is there anything that anyone would like to add to the agenda today? All right. Well, good. Let's get right to it then. Oh, wait. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you, Trang. It's Alan here. I believe Paul Kane, if this issue that we raised last time about Annex C, and I think we wanted to talk about that perhaps under AOB. Okay?
Thank you, Alan. Yes, I think we'll touch upon it during the discussion around document review process and timeline. But if not, then we can certainly bring it up under any other business. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So with that, let's move on to the RZERC charter. So we have circulated to the IOTF mail list a revised RZERC charter that Alan Greenberg had helped us with finalizing. And on today's call, what we'd like to do is ask to see if anyone has any issues, concerns that they would like to raise, and if not, can we call this version final? To highlight some of the changes that have been made, primarily we went back and tried to use as much of the language from the proposal as we can in the purpose and scope of responsibilities section. I believe we have also expanded the various mechanisms that the RZERC committee can use for their meetings. So we've added internet-based tools as well as, you know, phone calls. And so wanted to see if this group has had a chance to review it and whether or not there are any remaining concerns or issues with this version that we should discuss. Chuck, you have your hand up. Please go.
Thank you, Trang. I did review it, and I do have three inputs for it, I think. Under composition, why do we have the parenthetical possibly as chair and then at the end say the committee will select its chair? It doesn't seem to me that that parenthetical is needed. What does it accomplish since you're going to let the committee select the chair anyway? That could be a board member. It could be somebody else. So my recommendation would be to delete the parenthetical there, unless there's a particular reason that's there.
Thank you, Chuck. I think that the reference that's in the parentheses is with reference to the fact that the ICANN board member could possibly be the ICANN board chair or somebody else. I think so. That is in direct reference to that particular ICANN board member. But Alan has his hand up, and maybe he can clarify.
I vaguely recall, and I don't have the document in front of me, that we suggested it might be chaired by the representative of the board, because it's going to have, you know, this whole group is there to make recommendations to the board. So this may have been one of those things that was taken out of the document, but Chuck is right. It's extraneous, given that fact we said the committee will select its own chair. So I would just delete the parenthetical.
Thank you, Alan. I had a different reading of that, so thank you for the clarification, and we'll take it as an action item to remove the text in the parentheses under composition.
This is Chuck again. Thanks, Alan. Thanks, Trang. On records of proceedings, which is down a little bit further there, I think the first sentence just needs to be fixed, I think, but that's not my main point. The committee shall operate openly and transparently. Maybe the as is unneeded, but the more important thing, I think, is the second sentence. I would suggest adding minutes or other records of committee sessions shall be posted as soon as possible following approval of the committee. That's still not very specific, but at least it emphasizes the point that you want minutes done as quickly as possible so that, you know, they don't drag on forever. Somebody may want something more specific, and I would be okay with that, but that would be my suggestion. A fairly minor point, I think. And I'll pause there before I go to my last point.
It's Alan. I have no problem with adding that.
Terrific.
Okay.
We'll make a note to fix that as well. Delete the extra S in the first paragraph. That's not needed. And then at shall be posted as soon as possible.
Just on a humorous sideline, the as is there because there was an as possible on the first line, which we removed.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks again, Alan and Trang. And then last of all, should we have in here that staff support would be provided by ICANN, or is that unnecessary in this overview?
It's Alan. I have an answer on that if you care. Since we have a board member on this group, of course there'll be staff support.
Yes, I think it's expected that staff will provide support as needed for this committee. Whether or not that should be specifically referenced in this charter or maybe in an operational type of document, I don't have a view either way.
That's fine. Thanks. That's all I have. This is Chuck.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. Alan, is that a new hand or is that an old
hand? Yeah, it is. Matthew in the chat said, shouldn't it read as appropriate? Matthew, I assume you're talking about the first sentence, that is, it meets openly and transparently. Is that correct?
Hi, Alan. No, sorry. I'm referring to the last sentence in the section under meetings. Meetings take place telephonically as prudent face-to-face.
I have no problem with the replacing appropriate there. I don't care.
Hi, it's Greg Chatton. I just joined the call. I've been waiting a couple of minutes to get into the Adobe Connect.
Sorry about that, Greg. Ooh, there's some background noise there. All right, so we'll make that we'll take an action item to make that change as well. Anything else on the ARZERT charter? Okay. For the note taker, the action item and the last fix that we need to make is replace as prudent with as appropriate under the last paragraph of the meetings section. And then I think the first action item needs to be fixed. We are actually removing the entire reference, everything in, including the parentheses, everything in and including the parentheses.
And wasn't there a change to the second line in recordings of proceedings?
Yes. So minutes or other records of the committee session shall be posted as soon as possible following approval by the committee.
Yeah. That's currently missing from the notes.
Yep. So if we can capture that as well. Terrific. Thank you. All right. Anything else? Okay. So then let's move on to the next slide, please, and around the IANA escalation mechanism. We had a couple of questions for the group on the last call, and Chuck was kind enough to turn around clarifications on those questions fairly quickly for us, which we have captured here. All of these clarifications make sense to us. We don't have any further questions, but just wanted to share this with the group here today and see if there's any other questions or concerns or issues that you'd like to raise on this. Otherwise, we would consider this item as closed as well. There's Paul has his hand raised. Paul, please go ahead.
So thank you very much, Trang. I appreciate the escalation mechanisms have been published for a while. Do we have any opportunity for thinking about them further? I agree with what Chuck is proposing, but I'm just wondering if you know, we could possibly think about it for a further week and then close this issue off then. I would just like to have a chance to consult with the community on this important issue.
Chuck, please go ahead.
Thanks, and thanks, Paul, for the comment. I just want to clarify that my clarifications weren't really necessarily from me. They were what I think Design Team M intended. And I did CC them on it in case they had any inputs. So I didn't want to, people to think that it's just my thinking on this. It really, I think, came out of Design Team M, which was presented to the full CWG. That doesn't mean that we can't have more time if we need it, but I just wanted to clarify that. Thanks.
Thank you, Chuck. And Paul, if I could ask a follow-up question to what you just said, do you have further things that you want to discuss as it relates to these two specific items, or is what you want to discuss more specific to the proposed remedial action procedures, which is, I think, the issue or the concern or the topic, if you would, that you had raised on the previous call around the fact of why the Global Domain Division President is part of the escalation step. Because if that's the case, then the remedial action procedures is not finalized yet. It is something that the CSC will work with PTI on once the CSC is formed to finalize. So there would be opportunities for potentially changes to those procedures as part of that discussion.
So just to be clear, I just think it would be helpful. I appreciate you're trying to close off specific WERT items, but I just think it would be helpful if we could have a further week to review the escalation mechanisms, make sure that all members are happy with what is being proposed. Just to reiterate, I'm happy with Chuck's clarification, but I just think it's such an important issue, and thank you again, Trang, for highlighting the relationship between, you know, the CEO and all of that. I just think it's important that our respective communities are comfortable with what is going to potentially be implemented day one, albeit reviewed by the CSC and worked on by the CSC later on.
Thank you, Paul. Lisa?
Thank you, Trang. Well, I understand your concern, but this is actually a work in progress. As I see it, it's not a deviation from the actual proposal that we have, and And I think this is a closure of some of the questions, and those I don't believe are so important to have a look at. I think it's more important that we get some time when we have the actual implementation and fully full document to have some time to review it, and that's actually what we have later on. This is more the implementation of what's already been agreed. So I'm a little unsure about what it is you want to review, because most of this has been signed off by the community. It's only some matters that were not completely clear. Thank you.
So just to be very clear, and I'm not trying to be awkward, I'm just wanting to make sure, and unfortunately I don't know if my colleagues have had chance to review it. I'm sure they may have, I'm not sure, certain, but I'm just wanting to make sure that what we have said in our proposal is accurately captured within the escalation mechanism as being drafted. And I was just advocating a little more time. If I'm being advised that everything has been appropriately captured, then I'm relaxed. I'm just worried we're racing towards something that is so important to try and get it to closure. But I'm reading Avery, and I thank you, Avery. It makes sense to wait for a further week just to make sure everyone is sure that this matter has been appropriately captured.
This is Trang. Thank you for that, everyone. From a timing perspective, there's no issues, you know, from our side, from the implementation side, you know, to provide an additional week for review of these responses. You know, so certainly there's no objections or concerns from us from a timing perspective. Lisa, you have your hand up.
Oh, yes, that's a new hand. I was just wondering if we should visit this on the next call, because that's not a fully week, or you want to wait a full week, because we have a call planned on Monday, right? So.
Yes, currently we do have a call planned for next Monday and Wednesday. You know, I guess it will be after the item, the third item for discussion, and we can determine whether or not we want to keep both calls next week, or if we want to, you know, cancel one of the calls. But currently, you're right, Lisa. There are two calls scheduled next week.
Well, I'm fine with either.
Okay. All right. So we'll leave this item as open and provide everyone a little bit more time. Yeah, so I think by next Wednesday call, we can try to close this off. All right, terrific. Seeing no more hands, let's move on to the next item, please. Do we have the slides, the two slides that you can, okay. So I can't remember if it was on the last call or a couple of calls ago. We raised the topic for discussion around what process should we use to review all of the PTI-related documents, you know, with DIOTF and, you know, potentially with Sidley as well. And I think there was a previous, I don't know, action item that the implementation, the ICANN implementation team sent to the CWG client committee the process flow diagram that we had previously shared with this group, so that the client committee can ask Sidley to review that process diagram and provide input as to where they think their involvement would be most effective. And so we send that diagram to the client committee, but I'm not sure that we have any input back from Sidley yet. What I'd like to share with this group today is sort of a proposed process. So So maybe we can take some time to go through each one of these slides. And I apologize that it wasn't sent out, with more advance notice to this call. But certainly we don't have to finalize any of this today. So the first thing that we should look at is the PTI formation documents, and these would include the PTI bylaws, articles of incorporation, and conflict of interest policy. As you recall, the term sheets for these items were reviewed with this group on calls number 4 and number 5, and we did not receive any objections to these term sheets. So ICANN is currently drafting the proposed PTI bylaws and articles of incorporation to these term sheets, which can be ready to be shared next week. And then from a timing perspective, we were planning on having the entire month of May, for that review process, and we need to figure out what that review process is, but the entire month of May set aside for the review process, and then the public comment period during the month of June, so that after that, we can start the PTI incorporation process in early July, which is what we had previously communicated to the CWG. So from a timing perspective, that's at a high level, that's what we are anticipating. From a process perspective, we have written down here a proposed process for your consideration, and the process goes something along the lines of, once ICANN has a draft of these documents, we would work with Sidley, to review these documents for adherence to the PTI requirements and to the ICANN draft bylaws. If any item that's raised, are outside of the proposals and the ICANN draft bylaws, they won't be included in the initial draft, but rather they'll be flagged for further discussion. And then as part of that review process, if any questions from the legal teams arise, they will be raised to the IOTF. And the IOTF, would provide the responses back to the legal teams, consulting with the relevant parties such as the CWG as appropriate in providing the responses. And then I would envision that the next draft of the document would be done based on the feedback and the responses to the questions. And then that draft would then be sent to the entire CWG for review and feedback. And any feedback from the CWG will be discussed with the IOTF and then incorporated into the draft as appropriate. And then the final draft will be posted for a 30-day public comment period. And all of this entire process, is envisioned to take place within the month of May, so that the public comment period can occur during the month of June. So at this point, that's sort of an overview of the timing as well as a proposed process. And so I'll stop there and open it up for comments and feedback. Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you, Trang. I have a question because we discussed, I think it was at the prior call, that Sidley should have the term sheet as soon as possible. And we discussed later that they were not ready, or they've reviewed them already, but ICANN Legal would send something to Sidley as soon as possible. Has anything been sent to Sidley? What's the status on this, or have they only seen the actual process?
Thank you, Lisa. I'm not sure of what's been sent to Sidley, if anything. Our action item that we captured from the last call from the ICANN implementation team was to forward the process document to the client committee so that the client committee can forward it on to Sidley and pose the question. So the only thing that we forwarded on to the client committee is actually the process document itself. I thought the question or the topic around whether or not to share the term sheets with Sidley was something that was going to be raised by the client committee to Sidley. I don't think we captured that as an action item from the last call.
Okay, from our point of view, I understood that we would get something from you in order to send on to Sibley.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that we may, if that was a specific request, I think we may not have captured that because the only thing that we have provided to the client committee to send on to Sibley is the process document and not the term sheet. So if that's a specific request to forward the term sheet specifically, we can certainly provide that.
It's actually, sorry to intervene again, but it's actually to prepare Sibley as much as possible to be ready to work with you in order to finalize the bylaws and the articles of incorporation and et cetera. So it's as much as possible that we can prepare Sibley with is really helpful. Thank you.
Sure. So we'll capture it as an action item to forward to the client committee the term sheets for the PTI formation document so that it can be shared with Sibley.
But yeah, and I see that Grace is actually saying that the document was forwarded to the client committee. But I don't know, Grace, if that's the document of the process or the term sheet. I see it's a
right.
Process. I'll stop now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa. And we'll capture that item, so we'll make sure to do that after the call. Alisa, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thanks. So I have a question and a comment. The question is, in the process slide, there's a two-week operational community review. I'm wondering if that is meant to be subsumed by the bullet here that says the draft document will be sent to the CWG for review and feedback, or if there's some other place in this where the two-week OC review will occur.
Thank you, Lisa. So yes, I think that's right. I think that 2 week and that process box number four could map to the bullet point that says the draft document will be sent to the CWG for review and feedback, which essentially would mean that the first three bullets would have to be completed within 2 weeks if we only have the month of May to work with.
Okay, so I think it's important to, flag that explicitly, that it's a two-week review process and also that it include all of the operational communities and not just the CWG. And then my comment is I also think it's probably important that these documents not go out for public comment until the ICANN bylaws are approved. So that might just be worth noting here if people agree. But I think it doesn't make a lot of sense if the ICANN bylaws aren't finished or to ask people to start commenting on the PTI bylaws when one of the questions will be whether those two things are consistent with each other.
Thank you, Alisa. Yes, absolutely. And that's primarily the reason why we actually moved the timeline of these PTI formation documents back. We originally were hoping to get these out for public comments much earlier than that, but recognizing that a lot of the things that are going to be in the PTI bylaws will be based off of the ICANN bylaws, we moved it back in to June to ensure that the ICANN bylaws are adopted before these documents go out for public comment. So fully agree with you on that. With regards to your first comment around operational communities review, since PTI is a names requirement, obviously we feel it is very important for the CWG to be provided the opportunity for review and feedback on something that directly impacts them. Certainly, you know, all of these documents will be shared with the IOTF, and I know Russ is on the call, and I'm not sure if Oscar is on the call, but he is part of the IOTF, and certainly Russ and Oscar could at any point in time share any of these information and documents with their respective communities as well. So certainly, I think community, the community will have visibility into all of these. Alisa, is that an old hand, or did you have something else? Thank you. I thought I saw another question in the chat from Matthew. Shouldn't the IOTF review the full draft before it goes to the CWG? And I think Chuck responded that it seems to me that the full draft can be reviewed by the IOTF at the same time that CITLI is reviewing them. I tend to agree with Chuck. Given the tight time frame that we're working with, it's going to be very challenging to build in additional review steps. Matthew is typing. Matthew, do you have any specific concerns or issues around that? I think certainly the full draft will be shared with the IOTF as soon as it's ready. So potentially at the same time that CITLI has the documents to review, that the IOTF will also have visibility into that. Although I would assume that, terrific. So there seems to be agreement on that, that the IOTF can review the full documents at the same time that CITLI is doing its review. Any other thoughts or feedback on the proposed process or timeline? Lisa, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
It doesn't seem that the remarks that Alyssa made regarding the public comment period is captured in the notes. So I'm a little uncertain because I didn't completely understand. But was it that when we have the draft document to be sent for the CWG, is that the two weeks period? Where it's also go to the OC? Was that a yes or a no to that question?
So Lisa, thank you for your question. So yes, as I mentioned, during the 2 weeks that the CWG has to review the document, obviously, as I mentioned, the documents could also be shared with the other operational communities. The one thing that I wanted to emphasize is that the CWG feedback on these documents is extremely important because this is something that directly impacts them. So we absolutely need the CWG review and feedback on this. And then for the other operational communities, Russ and or Oscar, I think we'll rely on them to make the determination if that's the time that they want to provide their operational communities to review and provide any feedback on the document as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. All right, so I don't see any other comments or hands up. Let's move on to the next slide, please. Thank you. So this slide is around the ICANN PTI contract. And to give everyone sort of an overview on what we're doing for this, ICANN is drafting this contract based on the term sheet provided in Annex S. Unlike other items where we have shared with you the term sheet and then drafted the term sheet, since there is already a term sheet provided in Annex S of the CWG proposal, we're actually undertaking the drafting process to that annex. And the contract essentially will be drafted to meet the requirements of the CWG with the ability for ICANN to subcontract the performance of the numbers and protocol parameters services to PTI. But the contract itself will be the contract, for the naming function. In addition to Annex S, we are also looking at Annex E, which contains all of the IANA contract provisions that the CWG said should be carried over to the ICANN PTI contract. So whichever provision there are in Annex E that are not already captured in Annex X or Annex S, we are also making sure that the contract capture those provisions as well. Also, as you know, there are references to the ICANN PTI contract in a few places within the ICANN draft bylaws. So we want to also make sure that whatever references that are made in the ICANN draft bylaws are referenced appropriately in the ICANN PTI contract. And then lastly, Annex C, which contains the principles and criteria that should underpin decisions on the transition of NTIA stewardship for named functions. I know Paul had highlighted Section 7 and 8 of this annex specifically for consideration on where it should be incorporated. And instead of just looking at Section 7 and 8, we're actually going to look at all of the sections in that annex because we feel that there are probably relevant information in all of this annex that could be considered to be contained within the ICANN PTI contract as well. From a timing perspective, we anticipate that the contract and an updated term sheet would be ready by sort of towards the end of May, and that we would have the last part of May and all of June for the review process, and then public comment period would occur during the month of July. We also have down here for you a proposed process, which goes something like somewhat similar to the process that was articulated on the last slide, which is once these contracts are drafted, it will be shared with the IOTF and SIDLE legal team for review. We would probably be most efficient if ICANN then would hold a call with SIDLE and the IOTF to discuss and resolve any issues that are flagged as part of that review process. And then we would iterate on that until we have a draft that can then be shared with the CWG for review and feedback. And then any feedback from the CWG will be discussed with the IOTF and incorporated as appropriate. It's envisioned that obviously there will be subcontracting provisions within this ICANN PTI contract, and any such provisions would be reviewed with the NRO and IETF. And then obviously the final draft will be posted for a 30-day public comment period. So I'll stop there. I see there's quite a few hands in the Adobe Connect room. So let me go to James Gannon. James, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. It's only a minor point on additional input sources. Annex M also has some requirements that may need to be evaluated in order to replace in the current NTIA agreement clause C73. So just make sure that that's also recorded there. I assume it will be in the work, but I'd just like to see it on the list of the input sources as well.
Thank you, James, for flagging that. Let's add it as an action item to add Annex M to the list of additional input sources. Thank you. Russ, please go ahead. Russ, you may be on mute. Or no. I don't see Russ's hand up.
So that contract for doing the protocol parameters and the addressing function, is that what you meant, or did you mean three independent subcontracts?
Hi, Russ. I'm sorry. We missed the beginning part of your question. Could you please repeat that? Can you hear us?
Sure. So you said that there would be a I hear you fine. Can you hear? I'll type it into the chat room.
We can hear you now, Russ.
You said that there would be a base contract to handle the naming functions, and that there would be options under that contract for numbers and protocol parameters. That structure causes some concern. If the community separates for naming, then the other two must follow.
Thank you, Russ. Yes, actually, that's one of the things that we're fully aware of and are paying very special attention to in how we structure and draft the contract. So at this point in time, I can't tell you how the contract is going to be structured exactly as it relates to the subcontracting provisions. I don't know if there are going to be three separate SOWs, one for each of the IANA functions, or it could be that, you know, the ICANN PTI contract would just reference, you know, the IR SLA document and the IETF MOU and supplemental agreement. I'm not sure how it's going to be structured yet, and our legal team is looking into that on how, you know, basically the best way to structure this contract so that in the event of separation that there would be no issues. So Russ is typing in the chat room. Maybe we can move on to Alan while Russ is typing. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you, Trang. I just wanted to go back to your reference to the Annex C principles and criteria on the slide there. Certainly, I welcome your suggestion that you're going to look at the whole of the Annex and not just Section 7 and 8 as has been suggested. So certainly, I think that's quite appropriate. It's really the point is you're presuming that this will be going in the ICANN PTI contract, and I don't think we've made that decision. I think we'd want to, well, if possible, I'd like this to be reflected in the ICANN bylaws, but if which they may be a little late for that, but if that's not possible, certainly I'd like to see this in the PTI bylaws, and because I think that's a lot more permanent than in the contract itself. Thanks.
Thank you, Alan. I think this is actually based on our initial assessment, which we feel that it's the level of detail that probably would not be appropriate for the PTI bylaws. And so from our initial assessment, we're thinking that it would reside in the ICANN PTI contract, but certainly that is not a final decision. And as the as we share with you the PTI bylaws, certainly that could come. This topic or discussion could come up within the context of that discussion as well. So I wouldn't necessarily say that is a foregone conclusion that particular topic will be in the ICANN PTI contract. It's just part of our initial assessment. Paul, please go ahead.
So thank you, Trang, and I would just to echo what Alan and support what Alan has just said and also what Russ has just said. With respect to the PTI bylaws or contract, within the ICANN contract, there is already language that distinguishes CCs from the GTLD community. Within the NTIA relationship with ICANN, C8.2 and 8.3 make it very clear that there should be a cast iron security with respect to effectively what is C7 and 8. And so I would not feel comfortable if the terms were included in the contract, simply because contract between two parties may be changed, whereas these are so fundamental to the stability and operational integrity of how CCs function that they need to be enshrined within the bylaws of the IANA functions operator. So I would very much welcome them being in the bylaws rather than in a weak contract. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. I believe, and we can go back and pull the exact language from the ICANN draft bylaws, but I believe that the ICANN PTI contract cannot go through changes without having gone through a community public comment or some sort of a community process, very similar to what's required of the PTI bylaws. So let us take an action item to again pull the language from the ICANN draft bylaws as it relates to the ICANN PTI contract and amendments thereof, and circulate to the IOTF mail list. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Shatton. Just following up briefly on what Russ has said, I don't think that one contract versus three, you know, is an issue. It should be made, you know, clear that it's, and there should be a process for, you know, one of the three or two of the three to terminate their relationship under the contract and leave the contract standing for the other one or two. I've done things like that any number of times, you know, dealt with partial terminations when they have multi-party agreements. Has, you know, some, you know, consistency issues. Then again, you know, doing three parallel contracts may not create an issue either. So I think that to some extent these things don't matter too much as long as they're done right. It's how they're done and not the structure or containers that really influence things. So I'll look forward to seeing draft. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Alisa, please go ahead.
Thanks. So a couple of comments on the discussion. One is that I think it would be useful, some people have said it would be useful to, you know, start reviewing the pieces that are done as they're ready. I think it would actually be useful to review the structure as soon as that's ready, since it seems like there's, you know, some decisions that have been made or will be made about it. So I think that would probably be useful to do as soon as possible. I'm kind of surprised actually that there's one contract proposed since there was a lot of discussion of multiple contracts in the proposal development phase. And I do think in a way the structure now could potentially matter quite a bit because there's a reference to the ICANN PTI contract for naming functions in the bylaws in the grandfathering clause. And so it would have to be very clear what does that even mean. If it's a contract for naming functions, does it also include the subcontracting provisions or not? And if they were separate contracts, then it would be clear what it applies to. So I think, you know, getting agreement on the structure in the first instance is very important. I also think that, again, in the proposed process, it's not really just that, you know, if people think that the only thing that the NRO and the IETF care about is the subcontracting provision, then that's the only thing they're allowed to comment on. I would, again, like to see that there's a two-week period for all of the operational communities at the same time to review the document and provide their feedback on whatever aspects they think are relevant to them and not have someone else decide what they're allowed to comment on or have the review periods be out of sync. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I would suggest that we kind of stick to the process that we outlined in terms of the two-week operational community review. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you, Trang. I must say I agree with what's been said regarding to review the structure as soon as possible for both the PTI contract and the PTI bylaws. I think the sooner the better to get the full picture of where the different parts are and how it's going to be structured. When that said, is I know the concern from what Paul and Alan is raising is out of that there are some very important principles in Annex C that needs to be incorporated in either PTI bylaws or the PTI contract. But the important part is that these are very, very difficult to change. So you would have parts where you, this is, as a principle, it needs to go, in my opinion, it should go both in the bylaws and in the contract. And both needs to be somewhat difficult to change because this is a key to a lot of the actual fundament of PTI, these principles that are in Annex C. So if we can see how you think and how you want to structure this as soon as possible, it would maybe take some of the anxiety of not having this incorporated well enough away. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. So let me take that back and have some internal discussions and see what we can do in terms of, I don't know that sharing bits and pieces of the contract makes sense just because I think having worked on a few contracts from a business perspective is they all have to hang together and you can't just read, one part of it not knowing what the rest of the contract say. So I don't know if it makes sense to do that. But, maybe there's something else that we could do, to share with you before the entire draft is ready. So let me take that back internally and see what we can do. I'm reading through some of the comments in the chat room here and see if there's any other questions that we should address. I think most of the comments is around being able to see something around the structure or how it's, what would reside within the contract versus the bylaw. So as I said, we'll take that back and then see what we can do. Yeah, understood, Liz. All right. Anything else on this? All right. Anything else for AOB? No? Nothing? All right. Well, then we will go ahead and close today's call then and give everyone 5 minutes back. Thank you so much for your time and participation today, and we'll follow up via the mail list on some of these action items. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Please stop the recording.
Thanks, all. Bye-bye.
And my dad, Craig.